Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Well, thank you for joining us, and get out your calendar. Is there any chance that you can come and meet me? I'm going to be in Saratoga Springs on August 31st at 6 p.m. at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, doing a presentation and chat with those assembled about my novel Rumors. And if you have any travel questions, ask them. I'll answer those too. And then I'm going to do a book signing for my novel Rumors. And if you haven't read it, you really need to. You know, it's like 87% of the reviews are 5-star and 4-star. And of the 87%, 70% are 5-star reviews. Frankly, I'm knocked out by it. But I knew it was good when I was writing it, so I wasn't entirely surprised, but, you know, you never know. So, you know, you got to read it, people. And it's a one-size-fits-all. Men love it. Women love it. You need a present for somebody. Think Rumors by Stephanie Abrams. If you'd like to stay over in Saratoga Springs the night of August 31st or the nights that lead up to it, that's a Thursday, so maybe the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you want to come in earlier and enjoy Saratoga Springs and the racetrack and Northshire Bookstore and all the places around it. The Pavilion Grand Hotel, which is only about 3 years old now, and the place is spot on perfect. You're going to love it there. It's just around the corner from the Northshire Bookstore, walking distance, so if you stay there, it'd be easy for you to come and be there on August 31st at 6 o'clock at Northshire Bookstore. They will offer you, if you ask for the Fans of Stephanie Abrams rate, a rate with a 15% discount off of whatever room quality you pick, from rooms to suites. So that's a nice present. And on September 7th, I will be in Manchester, Vermont, at the Northshire Bookstore there at 6 p.m. And if you would like to stay locally, just up the road from Manchester, just where Manchester ends, the town of Peru, like the country in South America, Peru, Vermont begins. So I always think of it as being Manchester, but it's just all across the imaginary line in the ground that separates Manchester from Peru. The Lodge at Bromley is offering an $89 rate. And remember, there's always local taxes that you have to pay regardless. An $89 room rate, including breakfast, at the Lodge at Bromley, which is right next to Bromley Mountain, where in the winter people ski, and at this time of the year, there's all kinds of summer activities there at Bromley, right next door. And it's just a few minutes down the road from Manchester, where all the shopping outlet stores are. And I mean the good ones, because you'll find super duper designer brands there if you're into that. And then you'll find all those outdoorsy brands that my husband loves. And you'll find the headquarters of one of those big outdoorsy brands there as well. Cute town. And lots of interesting and historic stuff all around the region to see and experience and explore and visit. And yeah, it's a good thing. So I'm in Niagara Falls, New York, and we're actually sitting in an enclosed, almost like a sun parlor. Did your grandmother have an old Victorian-style house that in the front of the house had what they referred to as the sun parlor? It was a room with windows that wrapped around three sides. Might have had a slate floor. This has a carpeted floor. There might be slate underneath it, for all I know. You look right through those windows, and you're looking at the rapids that are amazing and powerful and undulating and if you need to relax, just sit on one of the park benches that parallel the Niagara River and sit there and be mesmerized by the rapids. And that's the Niagara River. It's right outside the window here at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. You just cross the street, you're right there. And if you walk to the right and you walk down just a couple of blocks, you come to the falls itself. And you're in the Niagara Falls State Park. It's a New York State Park. And we're going to be going over there and go on the Maid of the Mist, go to the Cave of the Winds, go see the film that they've made that gives you a good overview about the park and the falls and its history. And as my mother would have said, we're going to go schlump around. So we're going to go visit all these wonderful places. And I have more to share with you right after this.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you in part by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. A Friday evening Shed performance will be part of the popular Underscore Friday series this season. At these performances, patrons will hear comments about the program directly from an onstage BSO musician. The next Underscore Friday is August 18th at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. Get tickets at bso.org or tanglewood.org.
I've been wanting to come back to Niagara Falls for a long time. We haven't been here in a couple of decades. And new attractions have been added. In fact, one of the new attractions that's been added is on the New York side of the falls. There is a casino. So for those of you that are into that, it's here. There's also a casino on the Canadian side of the falls. If you're an American with a U.S. passport, you can go into Canada. If you're an American just coming to the New York side of the falls, where there is so much to see and do, you don't need a passport. So that's kind of a nice thing. So once you're in the country, if you just want to come here, you can come here. We decided on Niagara Falls because for the last several years, you know, we've done Amtrak's Dome Car, where the Dome Car will come on again out of, it starts in Albany Rensselaer train station, and it goes up to Montreal, stopping en route at various places, including Fort Ticonderoga. And we've done the trip from Albany to Fort Ticonderoga, gotten off, overnighted. There's a hotel, there's the Best Western right there at the fort, just out, it's like two blocks outside of the fort is this cute Best Western. It's a Best Western Plus, has a small but more than adequate for the size of the hotel, indoor swimming pool, a little physical fitness room. It's got the food in our restaurant is outstanding. And it's a little hotel in the middle of no place. So, and it's a great place to stay, and they will shuttle you over to the fort if you don't want to walk. But if you're into walking, it's nothing of a walk. And the fort is so well presented with people who are dressed in the appropriate attire of the time period. It's all very cool. And so we did that with Amtrak 1 year. We've done the Dome Car a couple of times. We've done Montreal 2 or 3 times with Amtrak. We've done other Amtrak trips, including several round trips on the auto train, which you pick up in Lorton, Virginia, and take down to Sanford, Florida, and they put your car on the train, and you cut 800 miles out of the drive. And it's nice because if you're taking stuff with you, especially if you're going in the winter, you can pack all your winter stuff, leave all your winter stuff in the back seat of the car, pack whatever you have to pack in the trunk of the car. They put the car on the train. And when you get off in Florida, it's not like when you fly in wearing boots and a woolen hat and gloves and a winter coat and it's 85 degrees outside and you want to melt. I mean, it's so civilized and it's such fun. But there are a couple of places we haven't done that I would like to do with Amtrak. And so I wanted to do Niagara Falls. I wanted to do Rochester, New York. I wanted to do Montreal again. I thought about doing Toronto and Rutland, Vermont. And these are all places that we could easily, from where we live, hop aboard Amtrak in Albany, but you could get on anywhere along the line. I mean, you could get on in New York's Penn Station. Or if you live further south, you can do that too. And I'm sure there's a way to come in from, well, from Chicago to New York City, take the train northward, and go from New York all the way up to Rutland, Vermont, Montreal, Rochester. Oh, Schenectady's now an up-and-coming revisit place with all kinds of new stuff you should know about. There's a state fair that goes on there. You know, lots of good stuff happening all the time. So we came up from Albany Rensselaer train station to the brand new, adorable Niagara Falls train station. And we are now at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls. So stay with me. We're going to go exploring. This is Stephanie Abrams.
I've had nothing to live for.
Join Stephanie Abrams in Saratoga Springs, New York on August 31st at 6 p.m. at the amazing Northshire Bookstore for an interactive experience about her novel, Rumors. You can even take Amtrak to the Saratoga Springs train station and hotfoot it to 424 Broadway in Saratoga Springs, New York. You'll find an invitation at Stephanie's blog at sabrams.com/blog and at northshire.com.
Travelers 411.
Well, if you've just joined us, I guess you're learning for the first time that we are at Niagara Falls, New York. And there's also a Niagara Falls on the Canadian side. And if you're going to go over there and you are a U.S. citizen, you better make sure you got your passport with you. For those of you listening who live near the U.S.-Canadian border and you have a driving card, that'll work for you. But for everybody else, when you go online to learn more at travel.state.gov about visas and passports and driving cards and all that sort of good stuff you need to know about. Oh, George, I hear you drinking your coffee. That's the sound of George Dorado, the executive sous chef at the Red Coach. I think it's adorable. Nobody's ever done that before. The Red Coach Inn, which is right across the street, literally from the rapids that lead, if you look to the right, right to the falls, and then you can walk or hop on the hop-on, hop-off trolley, and that's all really cool. But what I was saying about the visa before my mind got slurped away was that if you have, you know, when you go online, you're going to see it's really inexpensive. I think it's something like $35 or something like that. Go and check, see what they're charging these days. For the driving card, you might think, oh, let me just get a driving card and then I don't have to deal with the cost of a passport. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. Because if something happens to your car while you're in Canada, you have an accident, the engine blows, whatever happens, and you can't drive back, you can't use that card to identify yourself for entry into the U.S. to fly back or take a bus back or get on a ship that cruises along the St. Lawrence or whatever. So I can't imagine what it must be like to be in some rural place on some country road somewhere in Canada, have your car decide it's not going to work anymore, ever, or at least for this trip. And now you've got to find a way to get yourself to a U.S. embassy and get yourself a passport. Meantime, you don't have any of the ID with you that you need to get a passport, like your birth certificate. I mean, it's like, no, don't do that. And if you are not a U.S. citizen, there is a very good chance that you just might need a visa, not just a valid passport, but a valid passport and a visa to enter Canada. So years ago, a guy told me a funny story. It was when very early on when people were starting to buy their own airfare online, and he wasn't using a travel agent, who would have been the first to ask him about his documentation, if it was in order. And he was married to a woman from Romania. The guy was from New Jersey, and he made his plans. And he found a really cheap flight flying from Newark to Montreal, connecting from Montreal to somewhere in Europe. sounded like a great deal until he got to Montreal and they wouldn't let his wife be an in-transit person to the next flight because if you were Romanian, you needed a visa. He didn't know that. That's the problem with brain surgery, self-inflicted, people. You know, use a travel professional to help you. Say before, there's a wonderful Dutch expression, thank you for helping me fall in the mud, which is pretty much what you would say to, you know, a four-year-old helping you to bake. You know what a help that can be. You know what your kitchen's going to look like. So be a little careful. And on the subject of kitchens, we arrived yesterday at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. And as I mentioned earlier, right across the street from the Niagara River that leads to the falls. And the falls themselves are just walk off to the right a couple of blocks, you'll be there. But the rapids are amazing. And literally, you can sit at breakfast at the Red Coach Inn and right out the window see the rapids going by. I'm now sitting in the lobby of the hotel and I'm looking at the rapids right across the street. Of course, you can't hear the roar of the water or even feel the mist, but it's barely any breeze today, so you're not feeling much today. Come back on a windy day, folks. You're going to get wet. And I have George Gerardo with me, who's the executive sous chef here at the Red Coach Inn. Welcome, Slurping George.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us. Let's talk a little bit about you. First of all, it says you're the executive sous chef. So who's the executive chef?
I am the executive chef.
So what?
That's my old card.
All right. So I got to cross out this sous here, which for those of you who don't speak French means under. So it's like the vice chef or the assistant or under chef. And a sous chef in a kitchen is a big deal. It's a much bigger deal to be the chef. So, because you know the old French adage, numéro un, le chef a raison. Numéro deux, le chef a toujours raison. Which is the chef is right, and the chef is always right. And the third one is, and if you're confused, go back to number one. So, when did you become the executive chef?
2 years ago.
And before, how long were you working here at the Red Coach Inn, which is a literally...
I've been here for 4 years.
You feel like any minute a stagecoach is going to pull up and people wearing colonial and early American or 1800s garb are going to disembark and come prancing through this darling lobby area that it looks like the drawing room of some manor house in the countryside of England somewhere. It looks like a coaching inn. You expect a coach to pull up at any moment. Where were you before you came here?
I was at the casino, Seneca Casino.
Oh, here in Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Wow, that's a big place.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet it was. And before that?
The Quality Inn.
So how much of your career have you been right here in Niagara Falls, New York?
About 35 years.
Wow. Did you start somewhere else, or this has always been it?
This is all I've ever done.
Wow. That's amazing. What's your first memory of being in the kitchen cooking? Think about that. We'll take a quick break and come right back. Talking with George Dorado, the executive chef at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. You got to come here, people. It's an experience. Don't leave me.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you by Amtrak. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Plan your 15% saving getaway today at Amtrak.com or iloveny.com.
I want with the frim fram sauce, with the arson fee, with shafafa on the side.
It's Travelers 411.
I'm talking with George Dorado, the executive chef at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. This place is adorable. It's very English countryside. Everything about it, with the kind of stuccoed ceilings and black timbers on the ceilings and walls, and the dining area is adorable with a fireplace you can stand in. Even a very tall person could stand in. And George Dorado is the executive chef. And I'm just wondering, George, what your earliest memory is fighting to find your way to the stove and the refrigerator and the sink and the counters.
Well, me and my mother used to, when I was a little boy, cook a lot in the kitchen, so I learned a lot from her. We ended up opening a bakery. We did a lot of catering, and that's where I learned from.
So when did your family open the bakery?
1990.
And were you baking then or chefing then?
I was baking.
What do you like to bake?
Italian cookies. My mother has any kind of recipe you could possibly think of. And I just picked it up.
Were these recipes that she found in cookbooks and magazines she invented, or she inherited from
grandmother? Most of them were inherited from her mother and her mother-in-law.
I have a sour cream coffee cake. You can drink your coffee. I know you want it. Go ahead. We'll listen to the slurp. There we go.
Thank you.
Little sound effects. I mean, I don't want you to fall asleep while we're talking. That would be bad. I have a recipe that was my grandmother's. It's a sour cream coffee cake recipe that I always said one day I will enter the Pillsbury Bake Off and I will win with this recipe, but I never had the real serious interest to do that. And there are only a few people in the world I have ever shared the recipe with. But golden raisins, and if there's nobody in your family allergic to nuts, walnuts, and chocolate chips, and cinnamon and vanilla, and a little bit of lemon, and oh my gosh. A full recipe will make a giant coffee cake. The kind that has the big hole down the middle. Prior to when people talked about bun cakes and bun cake pans became popular. Mm-hmm. If you have two bun cake pans, this recipe will make two. I glommed my mother's baking pan. It is this big, giant, like the kind of pan you use to make an angel food cake with the big column up the middle.
Okay.
And it must be 7-8 inches tall, this sucker. And you fill it about 2/3 of the way and it rises to the top if you make one. I always made two and hid one because the first one would go the first day. Yeah, you'd never have to worry. It would last a good 2 weeks because it had, I mean, if people didn't devour it first, because the recipe called for 4 eggs and a couple of 8-ounce sticks of butter and a pint of sour cream. You're talking rich here. And because of it, it naturally preserved itself for a good 2 weeks. But you'd have to hide half the cake if you wanted to have it longer than a couple of days because people would eat it like a house on fire. We're talking yummy. Maybe what I'll do, people, is when I get back from Niagara Falls, I will post my grandmother's sour cream coffee cake online and you can go and grab it because I'm not going to enter the Pillsbury Bake Off ever. So I might as well share it with all y'all, which is the plural of y'all. So, yeah, baking. I love to bake. Do you do fancy baking or just down to earth?
Just down to earth.
No, none of that?
No, not really.
Iced stuff that looks
like. No, I'm not good at ice sculpting. I'm not good at
I bet you could
decorating.
Be if you
I'm not a very
be.
Good decorator.
I bet you could be if you
wanted
to. Yeah,
it takes
be.
A lot it of just, practice. Yeah. That was my mom's job.
Okay. So, did the pastry shop, bakery, restaurant, whatever it was you opened, did that go under? Or
we were open for 10 years, and then some family problems.
Yeah, it's a problem with the family business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem with the family business. It relies on family being there and working cooperatively together. Yeah, do you ever watch Gordon Ramsay's, what does he call it? I don't know, The Kitchen from Hell or something
Hell's
like that?
Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, okay. Ever watch that?
Once in a while.
He's a wild man.
Yeah.
He is a wild man.
I don't know
man.
If it's an act or not.
No, that's him. That's him. I understand.
He's a little over the top.
When his, I think it's daughter, got to be a teenager, he started to clean up his act because he was a little embarrassed about what he was teaching her. And she's in the kitchen. But you see a lot of family businesses that mean well and, you know, just run into situations that are bigger than they are.
It's tough for the mom and pop
restaurants
now.
Yeah. So when you were cooking in the family business and cooking now even, do you have, like, you know, a certain style or, you know, signature dishes that you love to prepare, or you feel like this is, if I entered a contest, this is what I'd enter?
My spaghetti sauce.
I had that yesterday.
Did you like it?
It was phenomenal. And I said to my husband, what did I have? I had shrimp with angel hair or capellini or whatever, or pasta.
The blush?
Yeah.
Shrimp blush?
Right. And I said to my husband, this tastes like a vodka sauce.
Well, there was no vodka in it.
No. But it tastes like the vodka
sauce. It's familiar.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Well, thank you.
How do you accomplish that? Are you going to share it? I shared my grandmother's secrets to her best cake ever.
I could give you the ingredients.
All right, why don't you?
Tomatoes, tomato sauce, a little puree, salt, pepper, garlic, diced onions, and a lot of parsley.
I'm writing fast. I'm up to the diced onions and parsley.
And I like to cook the diced onions with all the ingredients with the oil, and then I add all the sauce and tomatoes.
And then add the tomatoes. You're writing down, people? I'm writing down. Okay, so, see, now that's the thing. When you make spaghetti sauce using real live tomatoes, do you have to steam them or something first and peel off the skin?
I peel the skin.
But what do you do first to peel it? Do you, like, heat them up so they peel easy?
I boil them.
You boil
them? Just very, very lightly.
Boil lightly. What does that mean, boil lightly?
You don't want to overboil them.
So how many minutes? Oh, because they're going to burst apart and be a mess.
Right.
I guess you're going to experiment and find out on your stove how long it takes to burst a tomato.
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes. I'm going to try this. Do you ever go to Italy?
No.
I got to get you to Italy, George. Land of spaghetti
sauce.
That's
on my bucket list.
No, don't wait. The life has a nasty habit of getting in the way of your good plans. Don't wait.
It does.
Don't wait. No, you want to go? You know, here's a secret. Anyway, my secret. You can have anything you want. You just can't have everything you want. So you decide what the priority is. And if the priority is getting to Italy, you just give up something else. Or two or three something else's, and you'll have what you need, both in time and money, to get yourself to Italy.
Good advice.
You know, there's a department store. It's the second biggest department, at least it was in 2000 when I was visiting. The second biggest department store in Italy is Coin, C-O-I-N. They're all over the place. I think at the time I was there, I don't remember how many they had. There were 42 I was interested in doing business with. I think there were more than 42. I was there on business. We were going to put travel agencies in every one of the department stores. And they have one in Venice. And their headquarters is in Venice Mestra. which is the land portion of Venice, the part of Venice where the train station is, you know, that's not on the water or sinking into the ground, into the water. And I'm going to tell you about how they do pasta in their upstairs restaurant. We come back. You'll find it fascinating. You'll lose your mind in Italy, George.
I'm looking forward to it.
And it looks to me like you've got maybe an Italian last name, Dorado.
I am Italian.
Oh, Lord. And you haven't been to Italy. What's wrong? We got to fix that. Something's not right here. Yeah, something's not right at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York. We'll be right back. Stephanie Abrams.
Five will get you 10.
It's Travelers 411.
I'm talking to George Dorado, and what I've got on my mind is all you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy. Because George tells me that some of his family is from that part.
Yes, we are.
Of Italy, and yet he has never been, and you need to fix that, and you do not need to be a millionaire to go to Europe. Maybe in 1950, 1940, 1930, you needed to be, 1920, you needed to be a millionaire to go to Europe. Anybody can go to Europe, and it doesn't take much adjusting where you're spending, wasting, or investing your money to make it happen. So make it happen.
I will.
And, you know, there's seasonality here in Niagara Falls. When things get a little quieter here, it's also quieter in Italy. Go in November. Go first 2 weeks of December. Go right after New Year's.
That's when I'll have time.
Yeah, you'll have time.
Yes.
And people there will have time. You get in touch with me. I'm going to introduce you to some people.
Okay.
And you go make it happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got to get your bones to Italy. If you go to one of the Coin department stores in Italy, on an upper level, they will have a food court. Like you've never seen a food court in your life. They'll have wooden trellises with plastic grapes hanging. You get your food, you sit down, you feel like you're out on a terrace somewhere, even if you're inside the building. And you go from one food area to another. For those of you who know South Street Seaport in New York, Faneuil Hall in Boston, down on the waterfront, I can't remember what they call it in Baltimore, the Baltimore Harbor. There are these big buildings and they're just filled with like one food vendor after another. Only this is set up like an outdoor food festival indoors. And if you want pasta, you go over to the pasta guy. And there are cheeses and there are meats and there's fish and there's, and you just go from one place to another and then, I don't know, you go to the cash register, you pay for it all. You go over to the guy at the pasta place, and he's got all this pasta that he just prepares real quick in the boiling water, and he's got all these different big skillets going, and you tell him what you want, and you watch him put in a little oil, throw in tomatoes, throw in the onions, the peppers, the mushrooms, the garlic, the whatever, and then he stirs that around, and then he throws the pasta in, and blah, 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 and then like 12 seconds, you have, I'm watching my husband's mouth water right now. You have this unbelievable, delicious, whatever it was you wanted, exactly the way you want it. And because it's on the top floor of the department store, it's not in some elegant restaurant on the side of the Grand Canal or something. It's really inexpensive, very affordable, great place to eat, and I'm getting hungry over it too. But I have to tell you that whatever you called that shrimp pasta thing I had last
night. Shrimp blush.
Wow, that was fabulous.
Thank you.
I was sorry I ate all of it, though. I wish I had been more disciplined not to eat it all, but it was so good. How could I not? So I have to behave and walk all the way to the falls and back a few times. It's only a few blocks, but...
Am I cooking for you tonight, too?
No, actually, tonight we're having dinner at Top of the Falls. Oh. But tomorrow night, honey, we will be here. So, and I hope you're here and on, and that would be good.
Well, it is my day off tomorrow, my one day.
You take that, yeah, and so you're not...
But I may come in if you let me know what time. Maybe I'll come in.
Tomorrow night, how's 8 o'clock?
Okay.
Yeah? Hey, people. Now, there's a special treat. George Dorado, executive chef at the Red Coach Inn in Niagara Falls, New York, is going to cook for us tomorrow night. What should we eat?
When you get here, I'll come out to the table and we'll discuss
it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. You have a lovely menu, by the way.
Thank you.
Because there were a couple of things. There was a chicken something that sounded very good.
Marsala?
No, it wasn't Italian.
Oh, chicken French. Chicken Francesca.
It wasn't Italian.
No?
No. I mean, well, that's French, but it's really Italian. no, what was it? It was a chicken something on the menu. I don't remember, but I said to myself, I'm having a tough time here. When you get a menu where there's two or three items and you have a tough time deciding.
Yeah, we have a pretty big menu.
Yeah, it's a good menu.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you design the menu?
Me and my sous chef.
Aha, this is a good thing.
And we do four specials every night. We do appetizer specials every night.
Your shrimp cocktail is gorgeous.
Thank you. I didn't have it.
My husband did. But when it was served at the table, it was magnificent. I mean, those were nice, pudgy shrimp. Those weren't those scrawny things people sometimes serve you. They were good-looking shrimp. And I don't remember what I had for an appetizer. What did I have? Oh, my goodness. Okay. See, I think it was like a chicken teriyaki or something on your menu. It was some kind of something that sounded Chinese-y.
Chicken teriyaki, yes.
Yes. And so and I wound up in that direction because you had pot stickers. And I am a pot sticker person that whose palate has been developed in San Francisco. So I thought, well, now that's a nice combination. Pot stickers and chicken teriyaki. And then I saw the shrimp blush.
I have some customers who put the pot stickers right in the teriyaki.
Oh, that's got to be good.
So yeah. You get the little noodle.
Okay, so George, I'm salivating. Tomorrow night, I'm having the chicken teriyaki, unless you talk me out of it with something else.
Okay.
But so now I was stuck on the pot stickers. But then I saw the angel hair pasta with the shrimp. So I had this ridiculous combination of pot stickers, you know, a very Chinese-y kind of Asian kind of food, and this Italian dish. And I just went very, you know, eclectic last night. And I really could have made a dinner just out of the pot stickers and a nice salad. And that, because that was...
Did you like the sweet chili sauce? The dipping sweet, sauce?
Yes, I was dipping in that. Yes, it was wonderful. It was... Well, that's the thing. Your red sauce on the shrimp, the shrimp pasta dish I had, is very reminiscent... And this is quite the compliment, sir, of Patsy's in New York. You know Patsy's?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, dear. Geez, I got to tell you stories about Patsy's. Patsy's is on 57th? 56th? 58th? Okay. Somewhere around there, people. In New York City. His father, they say that that restaurant was made famous by Frank Sinatra, but they actually kept Frank Sinatra happy when he was going through his worst period of time in his life, and the food there is fabulous. So that reminded me of that. But your pot stickers, I'll put up against a Shanghai dumpling king in San Francisco any day stuff. All right, people, we went right through an hour. Stay with me. We're going to go off to top of the falls. Wow. You don't want to leave me now, Stephanie Abrams, and we're flying high.
Let's fly away.